All right, good morning again, guys. We are doing this new format, so if you need to take, a bathroom break or anything like that, feel free. We're not gonna point you out. You know, try to make everybody look. Feel free to do whatever you need throughout the service. A couple of housekeeping things first. This morning, and the first one is we are having our love banquet on February 11th, all right? And so they've asked me to do kind of a head count and just see, you know, how many people are thinking about it. So if you think, we're going to do this old school, right, kindergarten all over again, if you think you might be interested, you and your spouse, to come to the love banquet, go ahead and just raise your hand for us, and we'll pretend like we're counting. I'll actually count. Here we go. Okay, and you'll have a chance to sign up when you leave today. There'll be a sign-up table. Amy and Jason will be out there. And so that's just an exciting thing. And we will have childcare available here at the church. All right, so don't forget that. We will have free childcare. Now, if you're not coming to the banquet, please don't drop off your children at the childcare, right? It's just a free date night that you would like to go and enjoy. We ask you, if you do, we would love to hang out with you. So drop your kids off and then come to the banquet, all right? Even if you do, if you don't listen to my voice and you do that, please pick them up on time. That's all we ask. We probably would not know if you did. And the other thing was, we wanted to say thank you for all the prayers last week when my dad had his procedure. Everything went great. They told him, you know, his heart was absolutely perfect. He lived to 100 if he just would change his diet. And so my mom and Jen, they're all bent on doing that. I told them it's hopeless. There's no way. But he said he lived to be 100. So I think the conversation went, well, what can I eat and still live to 85? And so I'm thinking that's, it'll be a debate there. But he drove the bus for me. I don't know. And he listened to the first service on the bus. And so, driving in, watching. I don't know how it worked, but it worked. But I wanted to use that just to kind of introduce. We have started the last 2 weeks. We started a new online, what we call it, online experience. And it's a new kind of platform we're using where you still watch the service. But on the side, you have Bibles and a notes that you can email to yourself after the sermon's over. You can ask for prayer there. It's a lot of different things. So I want to encourage you, if you do have to miss a service, we have them all live, Sundays, Wednesdays. Now, don't miss a service just to try it out, right? Actually, you know, if you come. We love having everyone in the service, but it is an opportunity for you. Last week, like I said, I'm the kickoff, right? I'm kickoff with a bang, the love series. And last week, we finished up our first series, all right? So last week, we finished up the 21 days of prayer and fasting. And I don't know about you, but it was such an amazing thing in my own life. In my own personal life, those 21 days, we had every night we had prayer in here, and 50 or 60, different ones of you each night, but every night, at least 50 or 60 of you came and prayed. And it was just such an awesome thing to see the services after those, to see in my own devotion. And it's not like I did anything different in my devotionals. I was just doing the fast and pray, and then my own quiet times with the Lord. It was just such an amazing closeness that I felt. It was amazing for me, and I know it happened for a lot of you. A lot of you came and told me and told us that you had that experience with the prayer and the fasting. And so we were so excited to kick that off, and we made that decision first, right? The whole series was about what we do first with our schedule, with our time, with our money, with our lives. We give it to God first, right? And so, but this next series, what I want to kind of make the point as is this is the next most important decision that you're going to make. You started January off right. We started off right, the 21 days of prayer and fasting, but this next series is about the next most important, and I'm positive, the next most important relationship decision you'll make, and that is your relationships. And because the right direction tomorrow starts with the right decision today. We made that decision to give God first, and now we're making the decision to put relationships first, because the right direction tomorrow starts with the right decision today. You know, your relationships shape you, right? Whether you like it or not, good or bad, whatever kind of relationships, they've made you who you are. You are the sum total of your relationships, right? And we've all had bad ones. We've all had bad relationships. We've all had pain. We've all had breakups. We've all had disconnections. We've all had angry words spoken. We've all had bad relationships. And a lot of us have come to the conclusion that the one relationship that I need to focus on is me, right? I'm going to take care of me. I'm going to do it. And we've done that, and we've made other relationships disposable. We've made our kids disposable. We've made our marriages disposable. You know, we said, cross the line, family member, I'll make you disposable, right? We tell our boss, hey, well, I'm loyal, but, you know, you cross that line. And we become so self-focused. And I'm going to tell you something that's true this morning. More people than ever before are more connected and around other people and completely alone at the same time. More people than ever before. We've got the technology to connect you. We've got everything, right? You can be connected to 10,000 friends, but more people are alone than ever before. And so we become self-focused. We've got this, I'm going to watch out for me mentality. And you did it as a way to protect yourself. And I'm going to tell you, it hasn't helped you one bit. In fact, it's hurt you. This reclusive pulling into ourselves, it hurts you. and you've got people in your life, I want to show you a verse that's incredibly powerful, Ecclesiastes. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. A man all alone. And the Bible talks about how he tries to do it in other ways than relationships. And son nor brother, no relationships. He tries to do it another way and he's not satisfied. You remember in the first, we talked about first fruits last week. We read that verse where it says that God gives wealth, but he attaches no sorrow to it. Right? And so this is the flip side of that. This guy has wealth. He goes after it, but it says there was no end to his toil and his eyes were not satisfied with it. You were designed to be in a relationship. You were designed for it. And because you were designed for it, it makes it one of the most important decisions that you're going to make. My goal today is really simple. I don't have some big, you know, conflated three-part step, anything like that for my goal today. My goal is to let you know that relationships are good for you. All right? And attached to that, to let you know that you should be in a small group. That's my goal this morning. But we're going to start with relationships are good for you. And immediately, you know, you'll start throwing back excuses. And if you've ever taken a debate class or if you've ever looked at, you know, arguments in general, you know that the real crux of your argument is not what you can lay out, right? What you can put out there and convince them of. The real part of your argument comes when you anticipate what the counter argument is going to be, right? They teach you that. You're supposed to think of what they're going to argue maybe, and then you figure out ahead of time and you bring those things up before they ever say it. And so this morning, we're going to start out with the excuses. The things you're going to throw back at me when I say that relationships are good for you. The excuses that you're going to have. And the first one this morning, the first excuse that you're going to have is naivety. I didn't know. I told Alyssa this first point. I was my wife, I was preaching the sermon to her. And she said, that sounds like a name, naivety. And I was like, it's not a name, it's a naive. You know, naive, naive people. You're going to say, I didn't know. I didn't know that relationships were good for me. And if you've been in this church for the last 6 months, let's say, you've been in here on Sunday mornings, this is not an excuse for you. All right, we have hammered this in. So maybe you work the nursery every Sunday and this is your first service with the rest of us. Welcome. Maybe that's your excuse, or maybe you just said you didn't know. But if you're taking notes, if everybody has your message notes, if you're taking on there, write naivety in that first blank, and then it's no longer an excuse for you. Because I'm going to tell you this morning how important relationships are. You know, it's awkward for all of us. I understand that. It's awkward for all of us, but it's so important for you. You know, I had a story, and this goes along the lines of I don't wanna be in a group because I've got this on my own. All right, and a lot of us say that. A lot of us have that tough exterior, especially men. I'm gonna talk to you right now. Especially us, we think, you know, I'm the spearhead through the water. Right, I'm living this thing. I'm gonna take care of my family. I'm gonna take care of my job. I'm gonna do what I need to do, but I'm living this thing alone. I've got this. We tend to do that, right? We tend to think how tough we are. And when I was in high school, I went to a really small high school, and we didn't have fields for the baseball team. And I was on the baseball team, and so we practiced in the parking lot. We went outside. We had a little pitching cage and wiffle balls and things, and we practiced in the parking lot. We were terrible. I mean, you can imagine we're practicing in the parking lot. But one day, the coach wasn't there for the practice, and we went in, and we dug out the pitching machine we found in this equipment closet. And the wheels were deflated on it, the wheels that shoot out the balls. We inflated that, and we set it up, and this thing went up to like 95. So, of course, we cranked it, right? And we are, boom, it's just shooting it. None of us can hit it. We're out there. And one of the guys, though, he was one of those, you know, kind of He-Man tough guys. And he was like, you know, I bet I could catch one of those baseballs. He's like, I bet you I could catch it. Barehanded, I could catch it. And so, of course, the rest of us, yeah, I bet you could. And so we were egging him on. About 10 minutes of that went on of like, you bet you can. Just get him in the cage. And so he's in there, and he's ready, right? And so we shot one for him to see where to put his hand. And he gets in there, and he's like, he's ready to do it. I mean, you could guess the end of the story, right? I mean, I remember the noise when it hit his hand at 95 miles an hour. He broke two bones in his hand, had to go to the hospital. That ended everything. That was it, right? So we went back to wiffle balls for the rest of the season. We were not allowed to play with the pitching machine anymore. But a lot of us, we have that mentality. We're not as tough as we think we are. You're not as tough as you think you are. You need relationships. The second excuse this morning is temperament. You know, you say, Ben, well, you know, you're outgoing, you like people, this is for you, relationship like that. I'm more bashful, I'm more shy, and I've got really great wisdom, really deep wisdom for you, a solution for the problem. Get over it. Get over it. It's going to be awkward for everybody. We all have it. I don't care what kind of social butterfly you think is going to these groups. It's awkward for everybody. You need to have relationships, though. It's important for you, and so you need to get over it. The third excuse, this leads us to fear. And this is a big one for a lot of us, right? I'm afraid I don't know what's going to happen in a small group. I've never been to one. You know, you guys are kind of weird. I think Christians are weird. You want a fun thought pattern. You want a fun activity is, you know how Google has geographical suggestions, right? You put in words, it suggests. Go to Google, put in Christians are, and let it autofill for you. See what people are saying about people in the church, right? And so a lot of us, that's where we're autofilling right there. Small groups, Christians in small groups are weird, right? We're saying, you guys are strange. I don't want to get there. I know what's going to happen. We're going to open the door and, you know, they're going to have all the chairs set up in a circle. And there's going to be one chair right in the middle of the circle. And they're going to say, well, that's for you, newcomer. And they're going to put you right there in the middle and make you confess your sins and cast demons you didn't even know you had out of you. And that's going to be the whole thing, right? It's all going to be by, I'm going to tell you, it's not that. Right? It's going to be the exact opposite of that. What you're going to find are people just like you. People who have the same problems as you. People are going to say, yeah, I've got that problem too. People are going to say, yeah, that's me too. Alyssa and I, we have a two-year-old, well, almost two-year-old, and a six-month-old. And, you know, we're getting ready for two terrible twos, terrible threes. Some people said terrible four through eight. I don't know. But they said, we're getting ready for that. But we started hanging out, too, with people who have kids around our age, other couples. And it's, I was going to say, it's turned me into someone I never thought I would be with kids, right? You're a completely different person. You don't know what planet you're on. But we've hung out with them, and it's funny when you get with couples who have kids about the same age like that, you start saying things about what your kid does. And automatically, like, yeah, my kid does that too. Yeah, my kid's, your kid broke that, my kid broke that too. I'm got a dollar amount. I think I'm well over $1,500 right now of damage that my son, he's not even two yet. We don't even, but that he's done to my stuff, right? You got people that say, yeah, I got that too. And one of my favorite things is this blog a guy started. It's called Reasons My Son Cries. And for all you parents, you're going to laugh at this. All the rest of you people, I'm sorry. You probably, I don't know, play on your phones or something for the next little segment. But you won't find it as funny. But he just did reasons. And other parents jumped on. And so I picked a few of the ones I like. And I actually put one in here. First one is, I broke this cheese in half. Reasons my son cries. And this one, you've got her there going, I said her sweater looks so soft and comfy. This one, I like this one. The goldfish came from the wrong place in the pantry. This is my son. This was yesterday, actually. We told him it was time to eat a snack. And it was like the emotional roller coaster. It was time to, we eat a snack every day. We eat a snack twice a day. I don't know, yesterday we didn't want to eat a snack. This is why I like this. He can't find his rubber ducky. And so these are reasons. And like I said, for parents, you laugh. For people who don't have kids, that's probably I probably just gave you your Sunday birth control. You don't want, you're done, right? You don't want any of this. But you get in groups with people. You get in groups with people, and they say, yeah, I've got that too. I love this quote by C.S. Lewis. It says, friendship is born at that moment when one person says to another, what? You too? I thought I was the only one. Friendship is born at that moment. That's what you're going to find in a small group. That's what you're going to find. You're going to find people saying, yeah, I got that. You got that problem at work? Yeah, I've got that problem at work. You're going to find people who are going to encourage you. And let me be clear this morning, if I haven't been clear already, nobody in Victory is perfect. Right? Not a single person, including the person sitting at this table. Right? Don't let my nice shirt I dressed up, my clean cut, don't let it fool you. I got issues. You got issues, right? Person on your pew, all of God's children have issues. And if you think you don't have an issue, that's your issue. I'm telling you, we've all got them, but we need to get past the issue. We get into a small group. We admit that we need each other. We admit we need a relationship. Here's another excuse. And that's past experiences that you're going to throw back. Past experiences. Something's happened in the past and it's burned you. A relationship that ended so badly and it's burned you. And I need you to hear something today. It wasn't just about the two of you. That past relationship. And I'll say it another way. It wasn't just about that person. The devil was up to something a lot greater than that. He wanted to ruin that relationship, sure. But he wanted to make sure that you were never going to be in a relationship again. He wanted to damage you to that point so that you would never be in a relationship again. He was trying to hurt you so badly that you wouldn't connect with what God had for you in the future. One of the greatest things he has for you, and that's relationships. Instead, we need to let God heal us. We can't let past experiences be our excuse anymore for not connecting. We need to let God heal us and move beyond it. And the last one this morning is busyness. And this would be mine. Right, this would be, like I said, I've got two kids, my wife, my job. You see me running around on Sunday mornings like a chicken with my head cut off. I'm busy, right? I don't need another event to go to. But there are a lot of things that we have to realize that if they were in our lives would be better for it. That they would shape us, encourage us. That if they were in our lives would be a lot better for it. And we need to make room for those things. We need to put them. We talked about first, right? Where I put my time first. You need to schedule out, prioritize, because relationships are more important than a lot of the junk that you have in your life right now. You got to make time for it. Don't let busyness be an excuse. And the Bible talks all about time, right? The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. The Bible talks all about time. And we're going to go, you know, it says in Psalms, right? Teach me to number my days. Teach me how few they are. And show me how to use them wisely. Teach me to number my days. And so this verse in 1 Peter, it goes on to say, above all. So we're talking about the end days, right? Above all. And I'm going to give you a Bible tip this morning, a little reading tip. When it says above all, slow down. All right? All of them are good, right? Every verse in here is good. I'm not saying that. But when it says above all, there's something in there you got to catch. Slow down, read it carefully. Above all, love each other deeply. So what comes after the above all? Love people. Above all. So remember, Christ said, love God, love people. So we started that with the first series. We gave God the first, but then it says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. And I love this verse, because it's saying love covers over a multitude of sins. Because one day you're going to find yourself in hot water, and you're going to realize that if you're not shored up, you're not protected by meaningful relationships, you're going to be dead meat. A couple of years ago, the college group and I went on a cruise. It was like the best, worst decision I ever made, right? It took 20, 25 college kids and me, and we went on a cruise. And one of the only rules I had was, when we got off, you know, if you've been on a cruise in the Caribbean, you get off at the different cities. And I said, you know, by the time the boat blows that horn that says the boat is leaving, be back on the boat. Like, be back on the boat. I don't care what you're doing, but just be back on the boat. Because if you stay in Mexico, I'm going to cross your name off the list. You never came on the trip. When we get back, I'm going to tell your parents, who? I don't know who's. And so I said, just be back. Do not get left in Mexico. And so we got off in Cozumel, and Joey and I went out. Joey and I went to rent one of those tourist traps, those scooters, right? We're going to get on those scooters, putt around the city. We're going to look cool on our scooters. So we got those things, and I'll cut the story short. When we got back, there was an argument with the guy about my scooter and how many scratches were on it before and how many are now. And he wanted, you know, $400 or $500 for scratches that were there already. It was a big argument, right? We had some intense fellowship. And so I told Joey, I was like, hey, you know, go back to the boat and get my wallet, and we'll see, you know, how we can kind of, you know, soothe the situation, right? And so Joey headed back, and while he was gone, it kind of escalated a little more. And by this time, we're shouting, right? He's shouting, I'm shouting, and he's I'm going to call the police. I'm going to call the police. And because I'm a Christian, and you know, I understand that a soft answer turns away anger, right? Diffuses the situation. Says, call those police. I don't care. Call them up. Bring them down here. And so he called the police, and the police show up. And so then the cops show up, and they decide we're going to take everything back to the station. And so we're in the back of the cop car going back to the Cozumel police station, and I'm thinking, this is it. I'm going to live in Mexico for the rest of my life. Like, this is it. This is how it's going to end. And so we get there, and I end up, again, cutting the story a little short, I end up in a room with a judge and the guy and me. And we're having more intense fellowship, right? We're all arguing it out, and the judge isn't saying anything, basically. The guy's young, I'm trying to talk, we're trying to do it, and I'm thinking, this is it. And then right at that moment, I hear the horn blast of the ship. And they blast that horn, they give you about 30 minutes, something like that, 30, 45 minutes, that's the one, hey, we're leaving, right? The boat's heading out, I'm thinking, this is it. I gotta work on my Spanish, I gotta do something, hey, this is the end. And right at that moment, the door burst open, and in comes Joey, and I have never been so happy to see somebody in my entire life. He comes in there looking around like, you know, what are we going to do? Who are we going to fight? And Joey burst in, and so I told the judge, hey, let me consult with my attorney real quick. And so I turned back, and we looked, and in my wallet I had too much money. I didn't want to, you know, offer that much, so I gave Joey some. I was like, hide this. And so I turned around, I was like, I have $50 here. I got $50 in my wallet, and $50 if we could go. And the judge hadn't said two words, and he said, done. And I said, all right. So I put that money down, and we ran out of there. We paid a guy $10 in his car. We went back on an accident on the way back to the boat. He got us back, and we got on the boat. But if you don't shore up your relationships, you're going to end up in jail in Cozumel. I'm serious. If you don't have that relationship protection on you. 3 years ago, when we started Operation 2020, our first trip was to Haiti. We went where Jack Iverson was working in the orphanage there. We took the glasses, you know, to work in Haiti. And it was Mr. Jimmy, Kirby, Jen, and myself. And we were working up on the mountain above Cap Haitien. And we're putting glasses on people. And there was this really big guy, huge for Haitian, huge for anybody's standards, but huge for Haitian standards, about 6'4", 6'5", about 300 pounds, named Joe. And Joe didn't need glasses, but Joe made bracelets, actually. It was the most disconnect between looking at the person and what they do. He made little bracelets and he gave us one of them. Anyways, Joe was talking to us and we had discovered how to say in Creole, in Haitian, to discover how to ask them if they had problems with their eyesight. And so we were asking and we told Joe, you know, do you have problems close or do you have problems far away, you know, with seeing? And there was a lost in translation and Joe looked at us and he said, he kind of looked around at the people around us like that kind of looking at us, he said, who's been giving you problems? And like, we're like, no, nobody's giving. But we tried to explain it to him what we were saying. It never got across. So Joe followed us around the mountain, making sure nobody was giving us problems, right? And nobody gave us problems. You know, we had Joe with us. Nobody gave us problems. We put glasses on everybody, you know? Joe was bringing people that didn't need glasses. We were putting glasses. No, we were putting glasses on. But you shore up your relationship because God designed relationships so you have people who have your back. You got people who have your back. So you don't end up in jail in Cozumel. All right, so let's keep on going in 1 Peter. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received. So it takes it up a notch, right? Love people. Use the gift you received to serve others. So it's all this loving people, right? Serving people as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides. So that in all things, right? So we started with above all. Above all, so that in all things, God may be glorified. Above all, love people. Above all, form relationships. Above all, serve. Above all, use your gifts so that God may be praised in everything. So I promise you, we're going to go through these things. Everybody's going to find something today that you might need to work on. So what's our response to this? What's our response to the above all? What's our response to the relationship decision? Now, I've got four for you, four decisions that you need to make. And some of us have all four to make, right? Some of us are a little lower than the others, but I promise you, you've got at least one of these decisions to make. And the first one is this: I've decided that I'm going to work, I'm going to care for, I'm going to nurture my important relationships. I've decided I'm going to care for my important, because I've got some crucial ones, right? As we go through this love series, each week, we're going to take a different one and look at it. So I'm just kicking it off this morning, but there are some crucial relationships in your life. I'm a dad. I'm a husband. I'm a pastor. I have crucial relationships that I need to work on in my life because not every great relationship just kind of happens, right? They don't happen. You can't leave a relationship where you left it. You can't just leave it there and expect it to grow. You can't leave it there and expect it to become a great relationship, right? You know, you're saying, well, it should. It should stay where I left it. It doesn't. Remember when you got married? I remember distinctly. Mine's only been, you know, 2 or 3 years ago. But you remember distinctly that you got married, you know, you wined and dined her, or you put your best form out there, you did it. And then when you got married, it wasn't just, well, for some of you, it might have been just a check mark. But you got married, it wasn't just a check mark. You kept working, right? You kept working at it. And the Bible says so much about relationships. And when it talks about it being a body part. And in Colossians 2:19, it says, the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God caused it to grow. The whole body. It talks about these ligaments, the connecting points. That's what you need to work on. The connections. That's what holds the body together. And you know, you know that in your physical body, right? You exercise, you work out. Some of you do. Some of you don't. You eat right, right? Some of you do. Some of you don't. You work on your body. And if you do, you get to keep it a lot longer. If you don't, you'd be a lot deader sooner than you should have been. And it's too late. After you're dead, you don't say, hey, I'm going to work out. You're dead. It's over, right? You're in the box. That's it, right? We don't wait until it's over. And so I'm encouraging you to do that in your relationship. Fix your marriage before it needs fixing. Fix it before you put the oil in the engine before the engine's falling out on I-10, right? Before it's on the floor, you change the oil. And if there's a fire, right? You don't wait till the fire dies out. Then you add a log. Then you relight it, get it going. It dies out, add a log. You add the log while the fire's going. You work on your relationships, and parents, I wanna emphasize that. You know, my son is 2 years old. We have a great relationship. There's not, you know, I'm the king of his world, right? He loves me. I come in the door, he's gonna run to me. But I'm still gonna work on our relationship right now. I'm still gonna take the time with him because you don't wait till your relationship with your kid is disconnected before you try to reconnect it. You work on it now. You throw a log on the fire. That's good preaching, Ben. Thank you very much. Number two, to restore my broken relationships. To restore my broken, some of you are feeling the pain of a broken relationship right now, this morning. And I want to tell you something that's true. The pain of an unresolved relationship is greater than the pain of resolving it. The pain of an unresolved relationship is greater than the pain you go through trying to fix it. And I want to encourage you this morning, regardless of whether or not the other person on the other side of that broken relationship will play ball, and usually they won't, regardless of whether or not they're going to play ball and try to fix it, you do your part. Right? Regardless of whether or not you do your part. I want you to make a decision. You know, we had all the 21 days and we prayed and fasted over things. But I want you to make that decision that you're going into 2015 and you're not bringing those records of wrong anymore. You're not bringing the harm anymore. You're not doing it. They did bad to me. I'm not going to do bad back. Don't even bring them into your equation as far as whether or not you're going to do something. And you say, well, it's not that easy. I'm going to tell you, it is that easy. Because it's not an event. It's not a schedule that you work through. It's not a checklist. It's a choice. Right? Resolving those conflicts, it's a choice that you make. And it doesn't involve them. You say, I'm not going to bring it to me. I'm going to do like Romans 12. I'm not going to repay anyone evil for evil. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you. As far as it depends on you. Say, I'm not going to bring those in. A story I love is an older couple were having their 50th wedding anniversary. And, you know, there's cake and there's happiness and they're having a good time. And one of the grandchildren raised their hand. And they asked the grandma, they said, Grandma, what was the secret of being married and faithful to him for 50 years? And said, you know, well, when we got married, I made a list of 10 of his worst faults. And I told myself that I would overlook that list for the sake of our marriage. I took his 10 worst things that I hated about him, and I told myself I would overlook them for the sake of my marriage. So, of course, another little youngster raised their hand. They said, well, Grandma, what was on the list? You know, show us. He said, you know what? I never made the list. She said, every time he did something, I just said, you know what? Lucky for you, that's on the list. You know what? Lucky for you, that's one of my things I'm going to overlook. And I'm telling you, why did I live that way? You know, lucky for you, that's not one of the things I hold on to. Lucky for you, that's one of the things I let God take care of. Lucky for you, I don't harbor resentment about that. I'm moving on. I'm going to build my life. And to steal a phrase from, you know, our friends on Duck Dynasty, you'll be happy, happy, happy all of 2015. You're going to be happy. It'll be the best year of your life if you don't do it. Number three this morning, to sever any harmful relationships. We talked about this when I preached on remove the mold, right? Get rid of the mold. Sever harmful relationships. You know which relationships in your life are harmful to you. I mean, you know. You don't need me up here telling you. You know if you've got a flirtatious relationship at work and you're married. Any flirtatious relationship, if you're married, is too much. You know when you need to sever. You know if you're cohabitating, if you're living with your boyfriend or girlfriend. You know what's wrong. I say, you don't need me to guilt you into it. You've got a conscience. You know when it's wrong. And I'm going to give you another one of those deep theological truths on how you can deal with it, the solution to the problem. You end it. You end it. You can do it right now. You send and say, it's over. We got Wi-Fi in here. You can tweet them. You can iMessage them. I don't care what you got. You can tweet them. Say, it's over. I don't care what you got. I'll help you. You can put, Ben says, it's over. You'll get back, you know, who the heck is Ben? But I'll help you start the conversation, right? I'm telling you, that's the easiest solution to it. You end it. We make decisions about our relationships. The Bible has tons to say about this. A mirror reflects a man's face. But what you're really like is shown by the kinds of friends you choose. Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. You don't need a crystal ball. You don't need some algorithm you plug your life factors into. Show me your friends, and you'll see your future. Parents, look at the friends of your kids, and you'll see their future. Show me your friends. Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. In other words, if you want to be wise, you walk with the wise. That's what small groups are. If you want to rub up against these, we've got some great groups, some great in-depth Bible studies. We've got some awesome things going on. If you want to be wise, you'll end up a lot better than if you're the companion of fools. You end up in jail, in Cozumel. I'm telling you, if you make these relationship decisions to sever the harmful relationships, that's why you're going to these groups. Because you're going to find somebody that's going to encourage you. Someone who's going to pray for you. Someone's going to ask you if you prayed. Someone to keep you accountable. That's what you're going to find. 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? And this is not, you know, you're unsaved, I can't be around you. Ooh, you're unsaved, I can't be near you, I can't do it. That's not what that means. This is common fellowship. Yoked together. This is saying, I'm not going to let you get close. I'm not going to let you shape who I am. I'm not going to let you make that decision. I'm going to make the decision. Get away from it unless you want your future to look like it. That's the boiled down equation for it. Get away from it unless you want your future to look like it. And here's number four. Initiate some meaningful relationships. Initiate some meaningful relationships. In other words, you don't have them and you need them. So Hebrews 10, verse 25, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but but let us encourage one another. So this is me. This is not Sunday morning, right? This is not let's meet. This is meeting together commonly out and about as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. Notice capital D again, it's end times again, right? Relationships as they relate to the end times. And so I want to encourage you this morning. Like I said, it's not Sunday mornings. So what are these relationships? What are these meaningful relationships we need to do? I'm glad you asked. That's a good question. The first one, relationship with a church. Notice I didn't say, you know, going to church, things. This is relationship with a church. So if you're church hopping, stop. Get in a church. Doesn't have to be this church. This is a good, I happen to think this is a fantastic church, right? But it doesn't have to be this one. There's a lot of life-giving churches. Get in a church. And if you're going to do it, I'm going to say, if you want to join this one, if this is, give it the full change. Take a year and do everything, right? Be in the growth track. Serve on a team. Do what needs to be done. Serve in the worship team. Serve in the nursery. Do something like that. Be a part of it. Be in a small group. Get connected. Give it the full change. And I promise you, you'll look back in a year and you might not be exactly where you want to be, but you're going to say, I'm a lot further away than where I was. That's what a relationship with a church can do for you. Get in a church, a relationship with a church. And we had 101 today. We had church 101 between the services, 201s next week. You can start at 201. It's just a way to get connected, the growth track. It's in between services right here in the sanctuary. We make it so easy for you. But get in a church, a relationship with a church. That's what it'll do for you. The next one is a relationship with a small group. And again, it doesn't have to be one of our small groups. But we have such fantastic leaders this time around. I'm so excited. We got over 30 groups for you to choose from. When you came in, you got that small group insert. I want everybody in here to be in a small group. And they all kick off next week. Right? Who wants to go to something that's been, you know, you're going to cut in right in the middle. But all of them, even the ones that have been going on, they're going to have this fresh kickoff next week. I want to encourage you, even if you're in one, go ahead and circle the one you're in. Put your name down. I want you to be in something, right? I want you to make that commitment. I want you to be in a small group. And I put in the notes, in your sermon notes, it says, get ready for the best year of your life. We don't just put that in there as some trivial thing, right? We believe it. If you get connected, get ready for the best year of life. We got everything, right? We got games, we got hangouts, we got everything you want. We got firearms and fellowship. Only in Louisiana can you shoot guns that are bigger than your head with your congressman on a church small group. Only here, right? Barry's head that one up. He's the representative for Central. Only in Louisiana can you do this. This is a chance for you. If you're, you know, it's under men's groups over 21, right? We got that distinction there, and you're going to sign a waiver about this high if you're going to, no. But only here do you have, we have all of those for you. Is it going to be awkward? Yeah. The first time is going to be awkward. It's awkward for all of us. But if you stick it out, you're going to make friendships. You're going to build relationships. Give it 2 weeks, and I promise you, you're going to want to keep going. And if you don't believe me, ask somebody who was in one. Ask somebody who's in one of our small groups or someone who's leading one this time. And I'll give you this one for free. I was reading my Bible last night, and I came across the verse in Hebrews that says, let us hold unswervingly to our hope. Unswervingly. You know, a lot of us are like that in our faith, right? I really like to pray. I don't like to pray anymore. I really like reading my Bible. Next week, I really don't like reading my Bible anymore. We have this kind of like swerving faith, right? How do we unswerve? How do we hold unswervingly? You get in a small group. You get accountability. You get people around you who are going to hold you on that straight and narrow. And the third one this morning, you need a relationship with a team. Everybody needs to serve on a team. Why? Because teams are fun. Teams are really fun, and because you accomplish more with a team than you would ever accomplish alone. The output of the team is greater than the sum of all its individual parts. Right? Serving on a team, you do something purposeful. You do something meaningful. It could be the worship team. It could be the tech team, kids zone team, nursery team. You could be the greeters. You could serve the coffee. You got to be on a team, though. It gives you purpose. It helps you not limit your production as an individual. You get to be on a team, and it's fun. It's really fun. We got Dream Team 401. It's the fourth Sunday of every month. It's part of the growth track right here in the sanctuary between services, 401. And we list out every type of way you can serve, every type of way that you can fulfill your potential. 301 is about finding your gifts and calling. 401 is about living it out. Living it out, because then it begins. Once you find that purpose, it redefines who you are. I said this last sermon, I said it again this morning. God didn't just, you know, create you and say, whoops, I made an extra human, I got to give him a purpose, I got to figure something out, right? This generic thing. He made the purpose, and then he made you for it. Like you have a job, and then you make the tool to fit that job. He made the purpose, and then he made you to do it. And so when you find that purpose, when you begin to live it out, it starts to shape who you are. It's going to encourage you. It's going to shape you. It's going to give you purpose, meaning. And the final one of the morning, here's the last one. And the last one is really the first one. And that is a relationship with God. If you're taking notes this morning, write God in that blank. And then I want everyone to lower your eyes, lower your heads. And I want you to hear something this morning. You don't need religion. All right? You don't need another religion. You don't need another set of rules. What you need is a relationship with a living God. Before all these other relationships are going to fall into place, you need this relationship. And if there's one message of the church, if there's one message we want to tell you here at Victory, it's that relationships are miles away from religion. This is the best part of Christianity, is the relationship with God. He's shown you love in this unconditional way. He's already put the step forward. He's already shown such amazing love. And I want to bring the lights down, guys. I just want to ask you that question this morning. You know, you might have been thinking, hey, I need to get some of these relationships in order. You might be thinking, hey, there's something that stuck out to me. I need to focus on that. I need to do that. But then you're thinking, hey, I got to get this one first. And again, we're going to bring the lights down. And I want to just encourage you, if this is you, if you're saying, hey, I need that relationship, or if you're saying, I had it once, but it's no longer where it was, I want that relationship with God. I want to pray with you this morning. We're not going to make you stand up, point you out, nothing like that. I'm not going to make you come to the front. I just want to pray with you this morning. And we're all going to pray with you. Because this is the most important decision you can make in 2015. This is the most important decision you can make in your lifetime, is having this relationship with God. And like I said, it's meaningful. It's purposeful. It's not some dry, mundane thing. God wants to talk to you. He wants you to talk to him. That's what Christianity is. Living out your purpose God created you for. So that's you this morning. If that touches your heart, you want that, I want you just to slip up your hand. Just slip up your hand this morning if that's what you want. Again, I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to make you do some crazy thing. I just want you to slip up your hand. We're going to pray with you. I want to leave that open. Maybe God's tugging at your heart. Thank you. We see a few of the hands. Thank you so much. This is such an important, and nobody looking around, guys. People are making decisions. It's a crucial part in a lot of people's lives. All right, if you slipped up your hand this morning, and even if you didn't, I want us all to pray together. I don't want to single people out. I want you to pray these words after me, and I want you to mean them. Because this is the first step on your relationship. This is your crucial moment. So just repeat after me this morning. Say, God, I want to give you my heart. I want to give you my life. I want to change direction. God, I want to give all my heart to serve you. I want to make you Lord of my life. I want to make you number one in my life. I believe you died for me, and I want to be in a relationship with you. And end it like this: I give you my life. Lord, I want to thank you for every person who just prayed that prayer, God. God, I want to thank you so much for every person, Father, who just turned their lives over to you, to live in a relationship with you. And Lord, I ask you to give them courage, Father, to take the next step, to be involved in a church, God, to have relationships with others, Lord, to be in a small group, to serve on a team, take the next steps, Father, in their salvation, in their Christianity. But again, I want to thank you for their hearts, God, that they want that relationship with you. And Father, I want to pray over the entire church body here at Victory, Lord, that as we go into these next 8 weeks of small groups, Father, that we begin to form meaningful relationships. God, that I pray that you give every person, Lord, at Victory, God, the wherewithal, Father, to overcome their excuses. To overcome those things, Father, that they try to put in the way, Lord, and that they'll initiate meaningful relationships. And I thank you, Lord, that these next eight weeks are going to be the most meaningful and purposeful, some of the greatest weeks that we've ever experienced as a church. I thank you, Lord, for their hearts. So I pray over each one, Lord, each person here, God, that they begin to make meaningful relationships. And it's in Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.